That would help with being the speaker.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Am I up? I'm ready. Cool. My name's Michael. I am an addict and an alcoholic. And I'm from Montclair, New Jersey. My home group is the Circle of Friends group in West Orange. Now it's pretty much...
It has started.
Are we good? My sobriety date is August 10th, 2009. I have a sponsor. He has a sponsor. I sponsor guys. And whenever I share, I usually start by saying the set-aside prayer. It used to be that I would say the set-aside prayer because a person that I'm very close to would always say the set-aside prayer when he started. But then I realized that every time I read the book, every time I share, every time I talk to my sponsor, every time I meet with a sponsee, it's a new experience. And the way that I do things might not be the way you do things. But all I can do is share my experience with you, and if you'd like, you can get something out of it. If not, I love you all anyway. So I'll start with set-aside prayer. God, please help me set aside everything I think I know about myself, my disease, these steps, especially you, for an open mind and a new experience with myself, my disease, these steps, and especially you, God. Thank you. So today I'm going to share on step 11. For me, that was the one, you know, the other stuff was the rules for me. That was, you know, the other one was the design how to live because Michael couldn't live on his own. You know, he tried the spiritual path without AA and the big book. And that, you know, created a good facade for a little while, but his anger management skills in sobriety were not corrected, I guess, for the lack of a better word, because he didn't do the steps 1 through 9. He did his 90 and 90 when he got out of treatment, but I didn't do the steps. So I had a spiritual practice. I was a yoga instructor. I knew a lot about spirituality, but I was still an angry, angry human being, and I did not know how to live. So once I got through steps 1 through 9, I learned how to live. I learned what to do on a daily basis, and my spiritual practice, including my yoga practice, went skyrocketed. So I'm just going to read the first paragraph. It says, step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. So, oh, it's nice to see Jay. So for me, it started when, I guess, after I had that little bit of an awakening and realized that I couldn't live the way I was living before, I started to do the work again, and I was waking up every morning with what one of my teachers calls a vulture on my headboard, wanting to pounce on me with fear, anxiety, stress, and... someone in the program said, do you say your prayers in the morning? And I was like, yeah, I say my prayers, you know, like, God, please get this to stop. You know, that was my prayers. He's like, no. He's like, I'm talking like third step prayer, you know, that kind of stuff. And I was like, no. And I literally, for a brief period of time, was literally rolling out of bed onto my knees. Like, not even getting my feet to touch the floor. I would just roll over and start, you know, on my knees, arms and head on my mattress, and I would say the prayers. Third step prayer. Whatever prayer was resonating with me at the time. Sometimes it was seven steps. Sometimes it was the St. Francis prayer. But I consistently said the third step prayer, the serenity prayer, and the seven step prayer on a regular basis. And it started to get a little easier. Not that things went away, not that those fears went away, but I learned how to use what I learned in the first 10 steps. I got to use them because I was in a better place. So for me, prayer and meditation is like tantamount to my crazy thinking. You know, it's the most, for me, it's the most important thing that happens on a daily basis. And, you know, one of my teachers outside of this program is a practicing Sikh, and he is in recovery as well. And he pretty much says he does a 10-step at night, you know, and his inventory, and it's like he's done, like the day's over, he's dead. He goes to bed. It's over, he's dead, you know. And then when he wakes up in the morning, he says his prayers and meditation, and he's born again. You know, he's really, really, and he really believes that that period of sleep is the closest we get to death while we're alive. And he, you know, and it's a little extreme for me, but I totally understand it. Because being an addict and an alcoholic, I have to close out what happened today. I can't, or yesterday, I mean, I close it out at the end of the day, because I can't live thinking about the past. You know, that just makes me crazy. You know, I learned this thing, it's called, if we don't pray and meditate and change on a daily basis the way our mind is thinking, we live in what's called the familiar past. So we're just going to repeat those behaviors over and over again. You know, we need to be able to change our brain with our relationship with our higher power. And that's through prayer and meditation for me. I get up in the morning and it's a new day. First thing I do is I teach a class at 6:30 every morning. I've been doing it for a year. It's all about prayer and meditation. You know, it has some movement in it, but it's prayer and meditation. And then it doesn't stop. You know, it's like I have sponsees that think they could say their prayers in the morning and they're going to have a great day. You know, I walk around with a journal. I write that when, you know, when I hit those challenging spots during the day, I pray. You know, I say the serenity prayer, you know. It happens. You know, I can get a phone call from my ex-wife that's going to upset me. You know, I can, you know, say to myself, I want to be lazy, you know, and not do the work that I need to do. And then then later in the day, I get that feeling, oh, I can't believe I didn't do that. I laid on the couch and watched TV, you know. But a wise person said to me once, you know what I do when I lay on the couch and I want to watch TV? I said, no, what? Like I was going to have some divine revelation. You know, this person was going to, like, give me the answer and I wasn't going to have the stress in my life anymore. She said, I watch TV. I was like, wow. You know, and that's kind of, for me, that in itself is a God moment, because her relationship with God and her higher power, well, her higher power, she's not an addict or alcoholic, is so strong that she trusts the universe and God so much that even if she has something that the world thinks is, you know, the manifest world that we live in thinks is important, she knows that God is telling her to watch TV if that's the feeling she has. You know, and I'm using TV as an example because it's a simple example. You know, I was taught that we live in a dream state all the time. You know, that dream state to me and to what I was taught is, you know, the world that we live in. You know, everything is dreamed up. I mean, somebody had a dream up to make that, to invent the TV, you know. But part of our dream problem is that we're taught these rules by adults. We're taught these rules by society. We live in fear, you know, in this dream state because it's so linear. Because we're awake, we've created these boundaries. And when I got scared and when things got crazy and things got, you know, out of control and I was doing what I was told and I had a great life, I had a wife, I had stepkids, I had a great job, you know, everything was the way I was told it was supposed to be. It was that linear path I was supposed to be on. I was so miserable that I got high and drank all day long. When we're asleep, our dreams are all over the place. So the only way for me to break out of that linear pattern was through prayer and meditation. You know, praying and believing in God. Praying and understanding that, you know what? I am part of God. God did not make me a bad person. Why would he create something? Or why would the universe, if you don't believe in God, or you believe in a higher power, why is the universe creating bad people? He doesn't create them. We become them in our existence through fear, mostly, for me. So whenever I'm afraid, I pray. Whenever I get stressed out, I pray. Whenever I get into a situation, I pray. You know, I avoid traffic because I know road rage is part of my personality. You know, so for me, it's like, you know, my sponsor gives me prayers to read that are not the prayers that I do every day. You know, I say to sponsees all the time, read these prayers. Right? They say, oh, you know, it's great. I prayed today. You know. And what'd you do? I asked God to have a good day. You know, that's not a prayer. You know, they talk about chopping wood and carrying water. We have to have we ask God in our prayers to give us the sense of ease that we can do the work that he wants us to do on this planet as human beings. You know, we're here as a blessing, not as a curse. But somehow my mind in my lifetime changed it. And it wasn't like I tried to take my life, but I just wasn't happy with anything. You know, and I still have fear. And it still makes me crazy sometimes. But I try not to live in the future or the past. And the way I do that is in a relationship with my higher power. I understand that I have to live one day at a time. I can't let the past create my future, my present actions on a daily basis. I can't let the future make me nuts by doing what I call future tripping. I have to live in the moment and do the best I can every day. And if I don't do the best I can, that's okay. Because that's what I was supposed to do. You know? Like, I am where I am because that's where I'm supposed to be. You know? That's what I was told. I am okay till I'm not okay, and then I'm not okay until I'm okay again. And it's not linear. It's never going to be linear. There are going to be these ups and downs. The tool I have to be able to live in these first 10 steps is 11 and 12. You know? So in 11, when I pray, meditate, do my inventory, do my journaling during the day and all that stuff, it's not always going to be a good day, but you know what? I'm not going to wake up the next day and lament on how tough or I perceived yesterday to be bad. you know. And this group, you know, these people, like, so I'm traditionally a Jewish person, right? So my first thought in my, you know, when I was, you know, doing things in life is that, oh, if I'm going to be praying and meditating and it's not going to be like what I learned in Hebrew school, I'm not going to be a Jewish person anymore, you know, but that's not true, you know, and people in this program introduce me to things that are, that give me relate correlations between my Jewish background and meditation, you know, my, you know, my Sikh friend will say Judaism and Sikhism are, you know, that God is not a, you know, there's no like idol or Jesus or, you know, the gods and stuff like that. There's no, I guess, not manifestation, but no symbol. It's like formless. There's no form, you know, to what, but that's the way I look at AA. You know, there's no form. It just works.
5 minutes left, Mike.
Okay. It just works. And I say the hardest part about the Zoom process is that beginners can't get into meetings and see how it works. You know, I go to, you know, I have a friend, you know, and Jay and Suzanne and probably a lot of you guys know, is very, very involved in this, in this BBA process, very involved. And, you know, I try and, you know, listen to him and talk to him as much as humanly possible. But, like, when I first went into the rooms, like, he was, like, one of the people that I, like, wanted to be like, you know, at first. So at first, I, you know, the last thing that I'll share is this. When I first came into the meeting, I had hope that I could stay sober. I had hope that I could be like the other guys, you know. I had hope that finally this burden that I had in my brain and my physical cravings and body and unmanageableness, that it would somehow go away, right? Okay, what happened is because I did the work, hope turned to faith. So I know that this thing works. And when I see it work in other people, I know it works. And that's where hope becomes faith, you know. And the other thing is that because I know that hope becomes faith, I've been able to take my fears, and not always, this doesn't always happen, but what I could do because of prayer and meditation and know that I'm not doing this by myself is I could turn that fear into courage. And that courage is what keeps me going on a daily basis. Being able to share with you guys, being able to have an existence, being able to, when somebody upsets me, not react that I wear the way the little devil on my left shoulder is telling me to act. You know, it's all about my conscious contact with my higher power all the time. It doesn't end with my, doesn't stop with my prayers in the morning, and it doesn't end with my prayers at night. It's all the time. And understand that I am just here to serve. Thanks for letting me share.